You are listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair on RLM Radio.
The girl of your dreams has got to be in some bar.
Sorry, boys and girls, but this is X-rated. So if you're under 18...
Get out, goddammit!
Get the point. Good.
And now...
Bend over.
Y'all ready for this?
We do it all night long.
And now, your host, Grammy.
Hey there, hi there, ho there, everybody. And guess what? You are listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 10. Also on the RLM Spreaker Channel, the RLM TuneIn Radio Station, the RLM Internet Radio Station. Where else? RLMradio.xyz. Later to be on, let's see, SoundCloud or iHeart or Apple something or other, or it's a Freaker Friday and my brain is fried. I've been out mowing in this blusteriness out here in the middle of the boonies and, oh Lord, yeah. I think when I came inside, I wound up, you know, blew my nose, and I know, don't want to be gross, but I think half the yard came out. Oh, well, I will also be on YouTube and BitChute later on this evening, but for now, I just grossed you out, so hey, but it's going to be a bright and sunshiny day. Just ask me, I tell you, because if you think it is, then it is. It's all in the perception. That's what I say. Although there are times when there's some nasty clouds that move in, but you know what? You got to learn to dance in the rain instead of worrying about that storm. But we've had some freaky ones. Got to put that out there. Oh, well. Let me go say hey to everybody, okay? Real quick. Dun-dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh. Okay, over here on In the Matrix, I know that's the page I'm on right now, so Kiwi Patriot is posting all kinds of stuff, as well as Jackie Canella, and Red M5954 is also posting all kind of stuff over here, and Andrew Zebrun, ooh, a body language one, yay, I love those body language videos, those are so cool. Any case, hi everybody over on In the Matrix. Hope you're having an absolutely splendiferous Freaker Friday. Over here in Twitterland, Wise Guy is posting stuff. Man, that plane, that would be a first you say it, then you do it kind of thing. It's not a plane, it's a jet, but yeah. If it did the whoopty dumpty and the whoopty loopty, no. No. That would be a first you say it, then you do it. And it would probably run up the back of my shirt. There you go. If I'm going to gross you out, I'm going to really gross you out. I also see Barman is tweeting over here. Thank you ever so much, Barman, for tweeting out and letting everybody know that I am live and in person right now. Over here on Fakey Book, my daughter has been going absolutely crazy posting stuff, and it's been fun stuff. She's feeling just a wee bit on the wackadoodle side. Wow, a vegan barbecue, okay, whatever. Oh, the state should not be paying its bills with weed money while people are in jail and prison for trying to pay their bills with weed money. Okay, that's my brother, Al, and yeah, hon, I agree with you on that one, 100%. Let those people free. Set them free. Let them out of their cages. It's just a plant. Most people call it a weed. Not much different from dandelions. I know people that have smoked dandelions. They're kind of off. Just a little. But, hey, you know, it's a plant. The only reason you guys don't like it is because it cuts into Big Pharma's profit margin and cuts into the CIA profit margin and cartels, which are basically just the ugly side of the CIA, and oh wait, did I go there? Yeah, I did. Oops. Oh well, moving along. Yeah, lots of people over here on Fakey Book. Hi, everybody. How are you doing? Oh, looky there. Darwin and Scotty are here, too. And the lovely Mary B. How cool is that? And I see that everybody's liking my Ringing Cedar stuff. I got to share in a bunch of Ringing Cedar stuff today. Part of that is because I'm just so absolutely amazed that, you know, that it's really coming along. And I listened to an interview with Vladimir Migre. And, yeah, he's got a son that I believe is like around 20 now with Anastasia. And a daughter as well. I don't know how old she is, but yeah. Russia's cooking, and it's not stuff coming from the corporate lay-mass propaganda system. This is videos that of people that live over there that are showing you what they're doing. They are being the change they wish to see. They are leading by example. Booyah to you. Booyah. And yeah, I'm not far behind you, hun. I'm working on it. I got my garden going. And I actually did, you know, all my tomatoes and peppers and some zucchini and squash and cantaloupe and cucumbers yesterday. So yeah. And I'm like Anastasia says you're supposed to. So I'm taking lessons, making notes, making changes. Taters are going out too. So yeah, sweet taters and regular ones. Oh well, yeah. Farmer Grammy. Okay, over here on realliberty.org, I see Grimner's hanging around over here. Bob Brenner was on for a little while ago, so was the lovely Mary B. and Loki Luck. Thank you, Grim, for letting everybody know I am live and in person. How about over here on this Freedoms Network? Let's see who's hanging out over there. Estrella is posting all kind of stuff. Man, that Estrella. She's a digger. She's a researcher. And I see that the lovely Miss Tessa is here as well. And there is that Grimner, excuse me, hiccup, letting everybody over here know that I am live and in poison. So, let's see. So I've been to effing site, realliberty.org, fakey book, Twitter, in the Matrix. Oh, I gotta go to Minds. Who's over on Minds? If you don't mind, it don't matter. That's pretty much, you know, that's kind of a reverse way of saying where you focus is what you will see. So, doesn't look like I don't have any new notifications. Ah, the strongest people make time to help others, even if they are struggling with their own problems. I know some people like that. Bless their hearts. They are absolutely amazing leaders by example. Bless your heart. Hey, everybody over on Minds, anybody that's listening from there. And I think it is time now to go over to the place where you need to be if you want to give me static. If you're listening in on Spreaker, please come on over to realliberty.media.com. Think of a nickname. Join the tech. The chat, too, not just the tat, the tit for tat. Yeah, join the chat and give me some static, and I'll give it back. And maybe, just maybe, Vinny won't be giving me some static as well. Yes, I am Rome's. I am. Oh, it's I Heart. It's wacket. I know. Grimmy just had to correct me. Supposed to save the wackadoodle for Wednesdays and do the freaky stuff on Fridays. Stuff on, is that like, does that come in a box? Just asking. I'm curious. They're giving me static already. Oh, my Lord. Yeah, that's right, Romes. It is. That. What the fuck is the third planet from the sun? Oops, F-bomb. So early in the evening. Okay, right up top, I see Barman, the most splendiferous bot in the whole wide world, closely followed by Beetle. And Beetle, that was so awesome of your daughter to send you that totally way cool text. That gives a person a very warm and fuzzy feeling in their heart. Grimner is here, who is the RLM god, don't you know? We also have the lovely Moose Goyle, and those two, correct me if I'm wrong, will be on later this evening for the Freakers Ball. Trust me, a good time will be had by all. Those two are just Yeah. Awesome sauce. And heads up, Moose is the reigning queen on F-bombs, just so as you know. I mean, I tried to compete, and yeah, it just didn't, yeah, I just couldn't keep up with Moosey. Of course, she has twins, you know, so she's kind of got an excuse for it. In any case, DC is here. Hi, DC, how you doing? I also see Asmo is here, as well as the lovely Beth Z. Chalcedony is also here, and Free Enslaved. Yeah! Hey, Free Enslaved. I'm here, kind of, sorta. I mean, it's kind of bumpy start, but I've been out in the wind, okay? Half my brains got blown away. I'm serious, it's blowing like crazy out there. In any case, IB Don C is here, as well as Pondergander. That's the Vinny alter ego, for those of you that don't know. And he was on earlier today, wasn't he, with the Pondergander here on Real Liberty Media Radio. I also see the lovely Kate is here. Hey, Miss Kate, as well as Rob Wikes. Did you fire the bubbler, hon? Or did I just miss it? I could have missed it. Nope, I haven't seen Rob fire no bubblers yet. Vanna White is also here, the letter turner of the RLM chat, as well as Vinny. Hey, Vinny, one of the many faces of Vinny. You know, so it makes me think the Wonderful Wizard of Oz. And here he is, the Vinny of Viz. Whatever. whatever. Weather Dork is also here, as well as Woodman. Hey, Woody, how you doing down there in that really, 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 really hot desert kind of area? Phantom is also here. Thank you once again, Phantom, for the awesome intro you did for me. Excuse me. Cycles. Hi, Cycles. So glad to see you're still logged in. I saw Flasher leave earlier, and I had just gotten back to my computer, and he was, there he was, gone. So, see you, Flasher. Get some beauty sleep, hon. I'll leave it at that. I also see Cyborg Noodle. Oh, no Vinny today. He played hooky? Well, shame on Vinny. That's just not right. I thought I was the only one that did that. Well, no, Moosey does that too. Okay, never mind. Moving along. Cyborg Noodle, and seeing as how today is Friday, the Talk Like a Pirate Day, arg, and Pastafarian Holy Day, may you be touched by his cyborgian noodliness from the flying spaghetti monster of the interwebs. I also see Frump 2 is here, because Frumpy was having issues, and so he's getting creative with his name. Grommet is also here, as well as JJ's 999 JJ's. Hi, JJ's way over there in Scotland. How you doing, darling? I also see Kiss. Keep it super simple, because some of us have issues. And to round out the crew, the one, the only, the smart like Hans. Smart like Hans. Wow, how can you be smart like Hans? Because, you know, if you stop and think about it, when you try and wish that maybe someone would see something from your perspective, that really is, you know, it's not cool. I mean, it would be nice if people understood what you're telling them. A lot of times people just go, what the hell is she talking about when I'm on the radio? But I still go with it. In any case, you know, if you're trying to get someone to see things from your perspective, then you're asking them to give up their perspective. You don't want to do that. Because when you expect someone else to give up their perspective, then you just put your perspective up for grabs, as in, well, you expect someone else, so you must be willing to do so as well. And I prefer the plethora of perspectives, because it makes things so colorful and so interesting. And sometimes I just have to grab my popcorn and an adult beverage and a lawn chair and sit back and go, wow, look at that perspective over there. That one's funny. They're crying and everything. They're having, this is a 30-year-old, by the way, they're having a pissy fit over there, and I'm entertained as hell. Why? Because I have a sick sense of humor. But I digress. Let's go check over the red pill real quick, too. See who's over there. I see Apostle is over here, as well as F. Canella, and Frumped and Frumpy are both here, as well as Juana Taco and KD Troxel and Quantum Cupcake and Ventures. So, hi, everybody. How you doing? Hope you're having an absolutely splendiferous Friday. Now, it is time to get to the news that is the news that actually grabbed my attention and said, you might want to go here. You just might. So, I have several things pulled up, and I have one for the end that just to kind of give you, since I did the perspective thing. So here we go. This is the question of the week from ConstantineCannon.com. It's actually from last week, but really? In any case, the question of the week is, should the CEO be held accountable? Lessons from the INSIS verdict. So, in a shocking first, a federal jury has convicted an opioid company CEO and other top executives of a criminal racketeering conspiracy. INSIS founder and chairman John Kapoor and four other executives bribed doctors to overprescribe a highly addictive fentanyl painkiller and ran a phony call center to defraud insurance companies into paying for the expensive drug. Now, although the company itself had already paid over $150 million for the wrongdoing, which is just a spit in the ocean, seriously? Well, okay, maybe for this company it wasn't, but Big Pharma rakes in some serious jack here. Now, prosecutors were not content until they had secured guilty pleas from several executives and subjected Kapoor and his co-defendants to a grueling 10-week criminal trial. The Boston jury's conviction of all defendants proved the public appetite to mete out punishment to corporate criminals, particularly in the context of the opioid crisis. Now, the use of RICO, the Racketeering Influence and Corruption or Corrupt Organizations Act, was a bold feature of this prosecution. RICO is a complex charge typically used for criminal organizations, which I personally think Big Pharma is, and rarely against corporate executives. RICO charges may have been deemed appropriate here due to the extreme patient harm, the extensiveness and audacity of the enterprise, and the severity of the opioid epidemic, which claims more than 100 lives per day in the U.S. And you know, I think, don't quote me on this, but I think that's more people than die from aspirin a day. I think it is. And I know for a fact that is more than people that die from marijuana a day. Why? Because when it comes right down to it and you take out all the extenuating circumstances, like drunk as a skunk on top of it all, or taking opioids or taking something else, because a lot of times they like to fudge the numbers and say that, well, it was a marijuana-related drug death. Marijuana-related because possibly they had a joint in their pocket, but they overdosed on something else. Or they were drunk driving and crashed their car, but it was a marijuana-related drug death. Yeah, marijuana has not killed anybody that I know of. Please correct me if I'm wrong, though. I'm waiting for that correction. But until then, holding chief executives liable for corporate misdeeds used to be more commonplace than it is today. That's because we live in a corporatocracy. Is that a word? It is now. Indeed, historically, individual executives were convicted of white-collar crimes, not corporations. Chief executives went to prison following the savings and loan crisis of the 1980s and the fall of Enron in 2006. But with the collapse of Enron came the undoing of Arthur Andersen, which brought seemingly unfair collateral consequences to tens of thousands of employees and shareholders. Now, fear of the unacceptable collateral consequences to the economy and innocent parties has since resulted in companies such as banks following the 2008 mortgage crisis and their executives paying large monetary fines and promising to behave better in deferred prosecution agreements rather than suffering criminal convictions. Now, notice here, they said it was wrought with seemingly unfair collateral consequences to tens of thousands of employees and shareholders. This is a financial burden to them, as opposed to the collateral damage, so they call it, when we drop bombs somewhere and went, oops. Well, according to our intelligence, honey, your intelligence is sorely lacking, especially when you consider people that you just bombed into the freedom of the afterlife as collateral damage. They are not collateral damage, although that's the terminology that they love to use. Thank you, George Carlin, for pointing that one out years ago. Now, back to this. It is questionable whether actions short of holding the top executives accountable actually deter bad behavior by corporations. Pfizer, as an example, has paid substantial penalties for illegal marketing, bribes, and other crimes. But it has done so in no fewer than 3 successive deferred prosecution agreements. It's called kickback misconduct, similar to that of Insys executives features in the last 4 of CC's top 10 healthcare recoveries of 2018, but without findings of individual leadership responsibility. Amerisource Berkren kickbacks to doctors of $625 million. Actelion Pharmaceuticals kickbacks of $360 million, Health Management Associates kickbacks and unnecessary ER admissions of $260 million, AstraZeneca abusive and misleading off-label marketing $110 million. Apparently the day of reckoning has come for those responsible for the opioid crisis. Prosecutors have charged drug companies, large distributors, their owners and chief executives, and numerous doctors and other professionals. So are Kapoor's and his cohort's conviction a harbinger of top executive accountability outside of the opioid context? Should CEOs of other types of companies be subject to criminal conviction? Including under RICO? This is for wrongdoing, corporate wrongdoing? Or is that a bridge too far? You know, actually, I would take that bridge just a wee bit farther, and I would like to also prosecute those in government agencies like the FDA, the CDC, the Health and Human Resources, any other governmental entity that is taking kickbacks, or gets a quid pro quo of they make a beneficial ruling for a corporation, and then when their tenure is through with the government, they get hired to a very lucrative position at said company that was wishing to have some kind of decision on a product or a new treatment or a whatever. Yeah, I want to extend it that far. I want to see accountability across the board. Whether you're in government or corporate or whatever label you've got slapped across your door, you pull these kind of shenanigans, you need to pay. Oh, but wait, it's so much easier to put that poor little guy that just happens to be token on a joint or something, or maybe even has, you know, a little bit of weed in a baggie. Oh, let's throw him away. Throw him in a cage and throw away the key. Whereas these guys, are they going to go to Club Fed? That's my question. There is a little vote at the end of this. If you don't think this goes far enough, There are results, though, for this, or they will be able to get. But I think, yeah, they need to be held accountable. Also, you know, if we're going to have governmental agencies, let's make them actually freaking do what they're supposed to be doing. And number one, I did sign a petition. Thank you, Gary L., for the heads up on that petition about making pharmaceutical companies that make vaccines legally, morally, financially liable for damages done to children or adults who have some kind of adverse reaction due to the poison that you are injecting directly into the body, i.e. into the bloodstream or into the muscle tissue. Vaccines. There should be accountability on that as well. Take away that lovely little exemption that Congress gave them all those years ago. Y'all need to be held accountable. And don't do those frickin' flaming hoops that the parents need to jump through so damn high. You put them 10 stories up, there's no way a parent can jump through that. And there's very few doctors that will sign the little piece of paper or whatever you guys need that says, yeah, well, it's a vaccine-related injury. Why won't they sign it? Because then they can be held liable as well. Yeah. How about, if something is not safe, what was it? The Supreme Court even said something about, I don't remember the exact wording. I'm going to have to look that up, maybe put it in my blog. But yeah, it is not safe. It is unavoidably unsafe, something along those lines. So I will go check that out. So, oh, Moosey said corporatocracy is the word. Yay! Awesome sauce. Nobody dies from aspirin? actually, Grim, either allergic reactions or what have you, but, or, you know, those inert materials that they put in there. Yeah, that's a lot of times how they put the inert materials, less than 2% of inert materials. I love how they do that shit. Not. Oh, well, this one, I think they need to be held accountable. Now, where's the other one? I need to look in my pocket, apparently. Because this one is also about, which one do I want to go to? I think I'll go to this one. AHRP.org. It's actually from March of 2016. A former Merck scientist sues Merck alleging MMR vaccine efficacy fraud. Uh-huh. Now see, I think Merck needs to be put on the chopping block as well. Stephen A. Crawling and Joan A. Oh, wow. Joan Hun? No. That looks like my Scrabble board. You know, when I'm looking at the Scrabble board itself and all of my little tiles, that's what your last name is. And I look at that and I look at the Scrabble board and I go, I'm screwed. So, yeah. Sorry, Joan, but I'm not even going to attempt your last name. These are former Merck virologists who blew the whistle by filing a Quitam action lawsuit. What is that? Quitam. What the hell is that? It's U.S. versus Merck & Co. This was filed in August of 2010. Now, the scientists allege that the efficacy test for the measles, mumps, rubella vaccine, or MMR, were faked. And the document was unsealed in June of 2012. Now, this is a major federal case alleging fraud in vaccine testing, which they do very little testing, trust me. I've researched. Do your own research, but yeah, they do very little testing. And it encapsulates how medical research can be manipulated to achieve desired results. Been going on since the AMA, just throwing that out there as well. And why it may be wise to question the integrity and validity of the science-based medicine. It is bad science-based medicine. Now, the suit charges that Merck knew its MMR vaccine was less effective than the purported 95% level, and it alleges that senior management was aware and also oversaw testing that concealed the actual effectiveness. According to the lawsuit, Merck began a sham testing program in the late 1990s to hide the declining efficacy of the vaccine. The objective of the fraudulent trials was to report efficacy of 95% or higher, regardless of the vaccine's true efficacy. See, it's not so much, it's the adjuvants that are in there. It is those less than 2% things that are in there that build on each other. It's like, you know, when you're putting something together with Legos, one on top of another, those are building blocks that destroy the brain. So many neurotoxins. Now, according to Crawling and Joan and their complaint, they were threatened with jail were they to alert the FDA to the fraud being committed. Who threatened them with jail? In January 31st, 2016, the court ordered that discovery, the process for gathering evidence, must be completed by the 1st of March 2017. Now, the court also ordered the expert discovery needs to be completed by the 31st of October 2017. Other motions may be filed by the 20th of December 2017, and a motion for class action certification must be filed by the 1st of March 2018. And Merck must file its opposition to class certification by the 5th of April, 2018. Now, the plaintiffs charge that Merck defrauded the U.S. for more than a decade by faking vaccine efficacy rates, even though the real rate was significantly lower. As the single largest purchaser of childhood vaccines, accounting for more than 50% of all vaccine purchases, the United States is by far the largest financial victim of Merck's fraud. I'm thinking this could be a RICO thing. By the ultimate victims here, or but the ultimate victims here, are the millions of children who every year are being injected with a mumps vaccine that is not providing them with any adequate level of protection against mumps. And while this is a disease the CDC targeted as the single largest purchaser of childhood vaccines, accounting for more than 50%, the United States is BYO eradicate by now? Really? So the failure in Merck's vaccine has allowed this disease to linger with significant outbreaks continuing to occur. That's according to Forbes magazine. Now, and they, you notice that they're blaming it on the people that say, nah, I'm not going to let my child be your lab rat. No, we ain't going the vaccine route. Think we'll go with the natural way of doing things. Thank you very much. Also, according to the suit, the objective of the fraudulent trials was to report efficacy of 95% or higher regardless of the vaccine's true efficacy. Now, for the new testing method, the children's blood was tested for its ability to neutralize the virus using the vaccine strain virus instead of the wild type strain that is much more infective and the one that your children would most likely catch. But still, it was not 95% effective. In order to make the blood pass the test, antibodies from rabbits was added. And the addition of rabbit antibody increased the efficacy to 100%. But that was not the end, because the test has to be done on pre-vaccine blood and post-vaccine blood. Just the addition of rabbit antibody made the pre-vaccine blood go from 10% positive to 80% positive, and that was such an obvious sign of foul play that yet another manipulation had to be made. The desired end result is to have a very low pre-vaccine antibody and 95% or more post-vaccine efficacy as measured by antibody neutralization. So yet, one more change in procedure was made, and the pre-vaccine tests were all redone by fabricating the plague count on the pre-vaccine blood samples and counting plagues that were not there. What this allowed was a mathematical dilution of the pre-vaccine positive blood counts. Now, Susan Humphreys, MD, is an internist and a nephrologist who practices medicine in the conventional system for 19 years. And she witnessed firsthand how that approach fails patients and creates a new disease time and again. Summary explains in layman's terms how the tests were manipulated, and Dr. Humphreys is on the board of directors of International Medical Council on Vaccination. So in the complaint, the scientists outlined in great detail exactly how Merck manipulated the efficacy results in order to be able to say that they had 95% effective vaccine so that they could meet the fairy tale goal of vaccine-induced herd immunity by 2010. Well, it turns out that the vaccine could not meet the goal that the CDC projected to eradicate mumps by 2010 because the vaccine in the current state cannot reliably confer immunity. And it is, in fact, a dilute version of what was once, or what it once was, when Morris Hillman invented it using the virus of his 5-year-old daughter. The same viral mumps strain has been used in every mumps or MMR vaccine Merck has made since 1967. So, if what these scientists claim is true, the net result of Merck's questionable activity was epidemics and outbreaks. And it's known that mumps component of all MMR vaccines from the mid-1990s has had a very low efficacy, estimated at 69%, and the outbreaks started in UK and Europe in 1998, and US outbreaks began in 2006. These mumps outbreaks have already been proven not to be the result of failure to vaccinate, but vaccination failure. And now it looks to all to be the result of Merck's cooked books, used in order to maintain a commercial monopoly to generate increased revenue from increasing numbers of boosters. Yeah, isn't that just special? So you got one bunch of big pharma people that got nailed, and you got another bunch of big pharma people that need to be nailed. There's an awful lot of fraud going on, and as far as I'm concerned, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. You ain't gonna get a third time. Why do people trust these individuals? Why? Well, I'll tell you. And I may run a little bit long this evening, but this is from proliberty.com, and it's from the December 2001 Idaho Observer, Slavery and the Eight Veils by Don Harkins. So over the last several years, I have evolved and discarded several theories in an attempt to explain why it is that most people cannot see truth, even when it smacks them in the face. Those of us who can see the conspiracy have participated in countless conversations amongst ourselves that address the frustration of most people's inability to comprehend the extremely well-documented arguments which we use to describe the process of our collective enslavement and exploitation. The most common explanation to be arrived at is that most people just don't want to see what's going on. Extremely evil men and women who make up the world's power elite have cleverly cultivated a virtual pasture so grass green that few people seldom, if ever, bother to look up from where they are grazing long enough to notice the brightly colored tags stapled to their ears. The same people who cannot see their enslavement for the pasture grass have a tendency to view as insane conspiracy theorists, those of us who can see past the farm and into the parlor of his feudal lordship's castle. Finally, I understand why. It's not that those who don't see that their freedom is vanishing under the leadership of the power elite, or as I refer to them, the leeches that be, the bloodsuckers that they are. It's not that they don't want to see it. They simply can't see what is happening to them because of the unpierced veils that block their view. All human endeavor our filtration process. Sports is one of the best examples. We play specific sports until we get kicked off the playground. The pro athletes we pay big bucks to watch just never got kicked off the playground. Where millions of kids play Little League each spring, they are filtered out until there are about 50 guys who go to the World Series in October. So behind the first veil, there are over 6 billion people on the planet. Most of them live and die without having seriously contemplated anything other than what it takes to keep their lives together. 90% of all humanity will live and die without having pierced the first veil. The first veil. There's 10% of us that will pierce the first veil and find the world of politics. We will vote, be active, and have an opinion. Our opinions are shaped by the physical world around us. We have a tendency to accept that government officials, network media personalities, and other quote-unquote experts are voices of authority. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without having pierced the second veil. Now, the second veil, 10% of us will pierce the second veil to explore the world of history, the relationship between man and government, and the meaning of self-government through constitutional and common law. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without having pierced the third veil. Now, with the third veil, 10% of us will pierce it to find that the resources of the world, including people, are controlled by extremely wealthy and powerful families whose incorporated old world assets have, with modern extortion strategies, become the foundation upon which the world's economy is currently indebted. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without having pierced the fourth veil. Now, in the fourth veil, 10% of us will pierce the fourth veil to discover the Illuminati, Freemasonry, and other secret societies. These societies use symbols and perform ceremonies that perpetuate the generational transfers of arcane knowledge that is used to keep the ordinary people in political, economic, and spiritual bondage to the oldest bloodlines on earth. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without having pierced the fifth veil. With the fifth veil, 10% of us will pierce it to learn that the secret societies are so far advanced technologically that time travel and interstellar communications have no boundaries, and controlling the actions of people is what their members do as offhandedly as we tell our children when they must go to bed. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without having pierced the sixth veil. Now, as for the sixth veil, 10% of us will pierce this veil, where the dragons and lizards and aliens that we thought were fictional monsters of childhood literature are real and are the controlling forces behind the secret societies. 90% of the people in this group will live and die without piercing the seventh veil. As for the seventh veil, I do not know what is behind the seventh veil. I think it is where your soul is evolved to the point where you can exist on earth and be the man Gandhi was, or the woman Peace Pilgrim was. People so enlightened that they brighten the world around them no matter what. And the eighth veil? Well, piercing the eighth veil probably reveals God and the pure energy that is the life force in all living things, which are, I think, one and the same. So if my math is accurate, there are only about 60,000 people on the planet who have pierced the sixth veil. The irony here is too incredible. Those who are stuck behind veils 1 through 5 have little choice but to view the people who have pierced the veils beyond them as insane. With each veil pierced, exponentially shrinking numbers of increasingly enlightened people are deemed insane by exponentially increasing masses of decreasingly enlightened people. Adding to the irony, the harder a sixth or better veiler tries to explain what he is able to see to those who can't, the more insane he appears to them. Now, our enemy, the state. Yeah. Behind the first two veils, we find the great majority of people on the planet. They are tools of the state. Second veilers are the gullible voters whose ignorance justify the actions of politicians who send first veilers off to die in foreign lands as cannon fodder. Their combined stations in life are to believe that the self-serving machinations of the power elite are matters of national security worth dying for. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth veilers are of increasing liability to the state because of their decreasing ability to be used as tools to consolidate power and wealth of the many into the hands of the power elites. It is common for these people to sacrifice more of their relationships with friends and family, their professional careers, and personal freedom with each veil they pierce. Albert J. Nock, 1870 to 1945, who's the author of Our Enemy, the State, explained what happens to those who find the seventh and eighth veils. What was the best that the state could find to do with an actual Socrates and an actual Jesus when it had them? Merely to poison one and crucify the other, for no reason but that they were too intolerably embarrassing to be allowed to live any longer. So the conclusions? So now we know that it's not that our countrymen are so committed to their lives that they don't want to see. The mechanisms of their enslavement and exploitation, they simply can't see. It, as surely as I cannot see what's on the other side of a closed curtain. The purpose of this essay is threefold: to help people or help the handful of people in the latter veils to understand why the masses have little choice but to interpret their clarity as insanity. Number two, to help people behind the first two veils understand that living, breathing, and thinking are just the beginning. And number three, to show people that the greatest adventure of our life is behind the next veil, because that is just one less veil between ourselves and God. I found that quite fascinating, and actually, Cowboy Tech, I have to give him credit. He is the one that shared the video years ago over on World Truth. And I had been looking for it today and just plain couldn't find it. And then all of a sudden I went, wait a minute. Okay, I know what I was looking for. And so when I did, then I found this article and I thought, ah, oh, that's just too cool. It's just too cool. No, it's not a Tuma, Rob Works. So, now you know why when you share your perspective with some people and you just get so frustrated, that's not on you. You can lead a person to knowledge, but you cannot make them accept it or think. You just plain can't. That is all on them. And maybe, just maybe, they just do not have the ability to do so. That could, and it's not a bad or a good thing. It just is. Just saying. Now, I'm getting close to the end, so I probably ought to get my fanny over to PIGazette.com and see what Hambo and Porcus have to say for the day. Their word of the day is propaganda. It's a noun. Number one, it's a name you pin on that painful reality check that you endure when your political foes paint a rhetorical bullseye on you. Or number two, it's the steaming talking points pile pooped out, okay, by the jackass party that you get whenever you watch the allegedly objective so-called journalists on NBC, ABC, CBS, and those two blatantly lefty cable nitwits, CNN and MSNBC. You know, just don't watch any of them, seriously, because, yeah, they're all just bleh. In the quotable quote section, when plunder becomes a way of life, men create for themselves a legal system that authorizes it and a moral code that glorifies it. Frederick Batista. Yeah. Thanks, Fred. Yeah, we got that going on right now. Good job. Thanks for pointing that out. You just gave someone an idea, as if they didn't already have it. Okay, this date in history. The 17th of May, 1927, U.S. Supreme Court rules bootleggers must pay income tax, sets a trap that sprung 4 years later on a gangster named Al Capone. This date in history, the 17th of May, 1928, baseball manager slash player Billy Martin was born. George Steinbrenner fires him. Maybe Trump did too, I don't know. This date in history, the 17th of May, 1975, India annexes Principality of Sikkim. I think that's how you say that. We double-dog dare you to find it on a map without MapQuest or Google. Well, no. No. I doubt very seriously if I'm going to go there, so no. And lastly, this date in history, the 17th of May, 1986, Dallas jumps the shark and creates a magnificent splash when it brings Bobby Ewing back from the dead. Creativity surrenders. Yes, it's called television programming for a reason. And people just lap it up. I know this because I was one. But then I saw a curtain move, and I thought, what's behind curtain number one? And I peeked, and I found all kind of things, and I have been peeking behind curtains ever since. You could call me a metaphysical Gladys Kravitz if you wish to. That's fine by me. Or a spiritual Gladys Kravitz. I'm kind of nosy when I see curtains. Oh, well. Y'all been listening to Grammy's Rocket Chair here on RealLibertyMedia.com, Channel 10. Also on the RLM Spreaker channel and lots of other RLM places. Soon to be on RLM YouTube and BitChute and iHeart. And I have no idea where else. Grammy does wonderful things, and he puts me out there everywhere. And if I scare people, good. Good. Because maybe if you're scared, you'll think. Maybe. In any case, be sure to stick around, because Grammy and Moose Girl will be on later on this evening for the Freakers Ball. And a good time will be had by all. Vinny's renting veils now. Are you renting them, Vinny? Okay. Let me see here. Do I need to pull up? I probably should, because I don't want to screw up on... Yeah, let's go here. I really don't want to screw up on the schedule. Oh, that's the wrong one. Me and my button pushing. There we go. That's the right one. Glyphosatan. Ah, that's what you call that. Okay. So, let me see. There's the schedule. So, later on this evening, Grammy and Moose Girl with the Freakers Ball. Tomorrow at noon Eastern Time, Flasharoonie Dork with the Dork Table. At Sunday at noon Eastern Time will be Grimner, who's going to be jumping on the radio and playing some blues, and I'm sure there will be a rousing game of trivia going on in the chit-chat. Directly following Grim will be Hal Anthony, who's going to open up a can of whoop-ass on yo-ass behind the woodshed. Then on Monday, Grim's going to be popping in... 7 p.m. Eastern Time, just in time for supper, with Grimm's Leftovers. Lots of brain food for you to check out and enjoy. Ever so tasty. Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time in a perfect world with Flash and Vinny. I will be back next week Wednesday for the Wackadoodle Wednesday edition of The Rocket Chair. Same batty time, same batty channel. Also, don't forget, next Thursday, 20% off with Flasharoonie Dork on, well, he's Flasher. He's a Flasher at 2 p.m. Eastern. And Friday, 1 p.m. is the Ponder Gander with Vinny. So, until we meet again, my lovelies, please remember... I truly do love you all, and I wish you all enough. May you have enough smiles to get you through the tears, and enough sunshine to get you through the rain. May you have enough. Good night.